It's time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan is here. Why are we saluting a flock of seagulls?
Why not? First of all, why not?
Always good.
No, second of all, that's that's a band called Bowling for Soup. And that's a lead into what these two gentlemen are going to be enjoying right now. We're in cooking month.
Yeah.
Obviously. So
Guys who did Stacy's Mom.
No.
No?
No, that was Fountains of Wayne.
Oh, that was
New
Fountains
Jersey's
of Wayne.
Own Fountains of Wayne. Or maybe Brooklyn. But anyway, but they play in New Jersey all the time. Great album, by the way. Yeah. I forgot. But yeah, good band.
They had a big hit though, Bowling for Soup.
I don't think they did.
No?
No, I think that was one of the bands that their producer or their drummer, or who was probably the producer, also said, you know, I notice a lot of other bands getting famous by covering, you know, songs from yesteryear, and maybe we should do that. And then somebody in my band discovered that version of that song as we were trying to discuss tunes to do, and I don't know, it stuck with me for some reason, and here it is, and now you all know it. Bowling for Soup's cover of I Ran from Flock of Seagulls. Do it with it what you will. I don't know. But it's like you try finding songs about soup.
Right.
It's not the easiest thing.
They had an album called Drunk Enough to Dance.
There you go. See, I must have been in that band at one point. I've been in enough bands with terrible names that's...
I remember the... Yeah.
Oh?
Girl All the Boys Want. That was a pretty good-sized hit.
Okay. Well, you're more in tune with things that I, you know obscure music better than I do. Which I used to think I knew obscure music, but it turns out I don't. I'm totally mainstream in a slightly left of mainstream sort of way. But
you brought a soup and you made the soup.
Right? I made the soup.
This is great.
So this is just an effort. We're going to talk a little bit about cider today and cooking with cider, but I happen to, you know, as I like to do this month when we talk about cooking, I like to kind of bring in examples and then show that you too can do these things at home. Like it's a very easy thing. It takes you a little while, but mostly that's just cooking down a bunch of onions. I used half a bottle of the Luc Chollet Cabernet Sauvignon that we had a couple weeks ago at this point. I figured it was the perfect blend of sort of a berry, chocolatey richness. And you cook that down and add I used a beef bone broth, and it's just, it's real easy, but this is just a way of, showing folks, it's very attainable. And I'm trying to figure out how I can serve this in mini segments at Thursday's tasting. And I'll remind you, of course, at the end, but yes, this Thursday will be our monthly tasting, and I will have some form of some of the treats that I've been talking about on the radio and elsewhere this month for your consumption, along with recipes, so that, you can go home and say, wow, I tried this, and Eric said I could do it, and by gosh, I can.
Yeah.
And thank you, by the way, all of you, for being very tolerant when I've encountered you in the store, and I perhaps have had a grimace on my face or things like that. It's not you, it's me, as it were, but it really is. I'm still kind of going through this back pain. But hey, I saw the ultimate triumph over back pain on Sunday, so it was really actually, to be honest, like it has been very discouraging couple of weeks because I usually bounce back, and to hear like some of Tiger's friends and stuff say, the guy couldn't get out of a chair to go pick up his kids, and that's
Well, what did they say? He got up at 4 in the morning to stretch out and be ready to play.
So, yeah.
I mean, how early did you have to get up to be ready for this segment?
Well, I was up this morning at 4 o'clock, actually, with my heating pads and everything. I hate to say it wasn't getting ready for this segment exactly.
What?
It was more just pain relief.
Oh, well, so that's what this segment is.
That's right. That's in point of fact. I went to get some therapy today, and they were like, so what are you doing? I'm like, oh, believe me, I'm using the normal routine of drugs and vodka, and it helps sometimes. As I said, though, we're talking about cooking with cider, and so we're enjoying a cider today that I thought would be kind of unique and different and also good with a French onion soup. And this is... This is a cider press and distillery that's been around forever. And if any of you have ever driven north in New York State towards Albany from the greater metropolitan area, you will pass through a lot of orchards. And this particular orchard is located in Lafayette. And I'm sure, I mean, as I said, anybody who's driven through it, you've driven past some of these orchards. It's the name of it is called 1911 Established, which is a very wonky name, but you get the point. It was established in 1911. Ta-da! In addition to cider, they also make non-alcoholic cider. They make they distill apple products as well and make you know, apple wines and things like that. And it's been it's probably one of the most important craft ciders, at least on the East Coast, and it very recently got into Maine. And so we're drinking their cider donut, small batch, and, they put in a lot of brown sugar and things like that and try to give it that, that cider donut feel. It's kind of wonky, but it's actually kind of strangely appealing, and especially with that really savory soup thing. It, it makes a lot of sense.
Perfect combo here.
This is what I'm saying. So, so cider, just let's talk a little bit about cider, cause we never really talk about cider except for this one day a year. So I'll use this time to remind you. Cider originally comes from the Jewish word shekar, which in general meant alcoholic beverage. The Normans brought over cider from France in 1066, of course, the only date that I actually remember what it was. That was the Norman invasion. But that was when cider really came into the UK, where it is certainly the staple beverage. You know, of course, you know, times being what they are, you know, Great Britain has a wide variety now, of course, of brewed beverages, including lots of beer and stuff like that, and including wine, which we've had on the air. But cider really took a foothold, and it was the French who brought it over. And so if you know where Normandy is it's just outside, by the way, I hate even saying Paris right now because that's the other worst thing that happened. But yeah, it's outside of, if you're in Paris and you just head, straight west, essentially, and right before you hit water, you'll be in Normandy. It's really the only part of France that doesn't, except for the sort of the high altitude Massif Central, it's the only part of France that doesn't really do vines and wine. They have orchards. I mean, it basically, you know, might as well be sort of southern England, just separated by the channel. So it's absolutely, you know, it's a very windswept, very harsh area, and the orchards do very, very well there. And French cider is some of the best in the world. In Britain, going back across the channel, cider, by definition, is an alcoholic beverage. So if you're going over there and you order a cider, expect a buzz. juice is different. Whereas cider in America, of course, you know, most of us grew up thinking cider was just, you know, sort of an unfiltered non-alcoholic beverage. That really came into being because of the temperance movement in America. And essentially they kind of changed the definition of cider to mean that unfiltered juice that we all know and love. It's wonderful stuff, but that wasn't really what we referred to as cider until that. Apples, you know, obviously have been part of the Northeast landscape ever since the Pilgrims. They brought them over. Huge colonial consumption. And then, of course, we've talked extensively about the phylloxera epidemic that happened in Europe in the mid-1800s, which was partly our fault in North America-wise. The botanical clippings that we sent over, of course, contained that little louse that loved to eat the vines. And so, essentially, when the price of wine skyrocketed and then just it all disappeared entirely, Americans started subbing in cider for brandy that would be made by grapes and European wine, first because it was local and cheaper, and then just because that's what you had if you wanted to get your buzz on. And that's great. You know. Eventually, back in Britain, the Haute British moved on to wine, especially French wine, due to a blight in apples in their country, actually, funny enough. But cider really never lost popularity in America until, of course, Prohibition just crushed pretty much everything. By the way, try explaining prohibition to a 6 and an 8-year-old. I tried to do that last night. That was really, really, like, man, why would they do that, Daddy? I don't know.
And then you taught them how to make bathtub gin.
That's right. I shan't talk politics on this program, but it did come about because there's a new bill that has been introduced by one of my neighbors that seeks to increase the tax on alcohol sales considerably for spurious reasons, in my opinion. So if you want to talk more about that, come find me. I'd be happy to talk your ear off. Cider. Obviously seen a recent comeback, right? On a mass scale. And of course, that was driven, again, in large part by Great Britain. Things like Strongbow Cider and things like that. Now there's a huge artisan base. Why? I mean, obviously there's health reasons, right? Gluten-free is an important one. However, you should be aware that some of the mass-produced ciders do have malt in them to help fill them out. So be wary of that. None of the craft ciders I'm aware of have anything like that. So you're safe there. We have a whole, you know, swath of them at the store and pretty much anywhere you go. Of course, Maine itself is producing a lot of really, really good ones. The other thing about them that's kind of appealing is that there's a tremendous range of styles. If you like really dry things, perfect, you know, even harshly dry things, it's crisp and refreshing to almost cloyingly sweet, if that's your jam. I mean, and everything in between, flavored, unflavored, heritage varietals, you know, it's really, really cool. So you can dig really deep in cider, and obviously throwing them into that beer bread recipe, substitute cider in that, and you're golden. In fact, had I had more time today, I had intended to also try to do with this cider donut. I was going to do a cider donut bread, but perhaps I will get to that for Thursday. Ooh. Which is what? Our monthly tasting from 5 to 7 p.m. at Bangor Wine and Cheese. And as I am running out of time, I do want to please encourage you all to come out to that. It'll be a lot of fun. We'll try some beverages that do make good foods, and we'll try some of the foods that those beverages went into. And then we'll just do it all again next week, and we'll talk about mead and cooking with mead next Tuesday. So I look forward to talking to you all then. And in the meantime, hope to see you at Bangor Wine and Cheese Thursday from 5 to 7.
Wonderful. Thank you for the cider, which is delightful.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And the soup, which is perfect.
You tell John O'Hurley next time.
Right.
Bangor bound, and you get some soup, buddy.
Exactly. That's what it takes.
O'Hurley wants my soup.
No question about it. Hope that back gets better soon. Good
Thanks,
luck.
Thanks,
sir. Eric May and Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Message in the bottle every single Tuesday here on Downtown.